Blog Talk Radio.
Wow, we had a little technical difficulties right there, but the show must go on. Thanks for tuning in. This is the Choose to Joy broadcast, and this is day five of Healing Belongs to You, or Belongs to Us, brought to you by GoyGiftStore.com. That's GoyGiftStore.com, where you can find everything Christian, from Christian DVDs and books, Bibles, and every translation. They even got jewelry and t-shirts, and even homeschooling products for every grade. If you're an administrator at a church, GoyGiftStore.com has communion products, also offering products, and even clergy robes. So stop by GoyGiftStore.com today. That's GoyGiftStore.com. And also, don't forget, there's a special promotion. If you type in Choose to Joy in the promotional code box, then you will get 15% off of any product you buy. I think we had some people get some t-shirts, and they ended up getting 30% off somehow. But praise the Lord, go stop by there. We thank God for our sponsors. This has been an incredible week, and man, I just praise God. We have people tuning in, and just getting blessed. I'm hearing all kind of things. So we're just going to keep the show rolling. And I want to thank God for my brother, Brandon. He's been with us the last 2 days, and sharing his testimony and what the Lord has brought him through. And we're going to get right into that right now. Let me see if I can punch Brandon on in. Brandon, are you there?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Hallelujah.
Praise
man.
God. Count
Thanks,
it all
man.
Joy.
Praise. And we're going to talk about that with you, because I said yesterday, and I really thought about it too, that I don't know if I've ever seen you discouraged, which is a miracle, because we play golf together. And we don't really do a job all the time on the golf course.
Praise God.
And people get upset out there. And I don't believe I've ever even seen my brother discouraged. So you know the Lord has brought him out of brought him from a long way. If he was going through 3 years of depression and misery and just terrified, tormented every day. Brother, how bad did it really get in those 3 years?
I can't really tell people how bad it was. I can just, you know, give people examples, but it was just dark. It would be bright outside and felt like it was still dark.
Every day.
I just, there was no rest. There was no peace, no joy. There was no hope in anything. I felt like I had lost all hope, and there was no way of ever coming out, ever. And
let's
and
do a little
to say that.
Go ahead. Well, so I want to do a little recap, because I wanted to explain again what blaspheming the Holy Ghost is, because the enemy uses that against a lot of people, just being around ministry and the prison ministry. And I've heard different people think or believe that they had blasphemed the Holy Spirit. And the scripture says that there is no forgiveness if you have blasphemed against the Holy Spirit. And so I think the enemy tries to use that scripture against genuine hearted people who wants to serve the Lord. He tries to use it against them so they won't repent or they won't seek the face of the Lord to get forgiveness for their sins. Let's kind of back up a little bit. You ended up getting saved. We talked the first day about how you dabbled in drugs and sex became a vice for you. And then shortly before you got saved, or maybe a year or so before you got saved, you ended up knocking your wife in the head, and she fell in love with you.
Yeah.
did your wife ever hear? Did she ever listen to the first day with you?
I don't know if she did. She hadn't told me if she. No, she did, because we were in the house. Yes, and she she just laughed. Praise God.
That's so unique, man. See, that's what I've been trying to tell people, man. Sometimes women don't want you to open the door for them, and they don't want you to take them out to eat. Sometimes you gotta knock them upside the head; they'll fall in love with you. No, that's bad advice. Let me move on. But you you said in your heart that you told your mom that that's the woman, if she'll get close to you, that's the woman you want to marry, huh? The first time you saw her.
Well, I'm glad you brought this up, because I talked to my mother the other day, and she told me it didn't go down that way.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, so I'm glad. I knew in my heart that if I ever had a chance to, I would. But she said I didn't say that to her, so I had to, I believe that, what she said to me. So, but I just knew in my heart. And even my mother knew. She said, she told me when I was talking to her the other day, she said, I knew just by the way you were talking about her that you could marry this girl someday.
Wow.
But anyway, to get that straight, I thank you for that.
Amen. You're an honest man, so you could have left that out there, but you decided to clean that up, and I love you.
Amen.
But the part that is true is that you did hit her with the left jab. Now, this is at, don't,
no, it,
you didn't
it
go
was
on the
right
street
hand.
Just punching people.
No, yes. It was the right hand. It wasn't the left hook. It was the right.
Right jab to the jaw. And this is at karate. It's at a karate lesson. And you were like the sensei. You were like Mr. Miyagi.
Yeah.
Leading the.
I was her instructor. Yes, sir.
And she said, "Do not take it easy on me. I want
she
you to
said,
treat
do
me
not,
like everything."
She said, "That's what she said.
Don't
and
treat
that's
me
what
like
she
every,
got.
Like a little girl." Anyway, after that, y'all end up getting married. You still really haven't made the decision to walk with the Lord yet. But one day, I guess you was just getting tired, and you went to your mother's house, and she prayed for you, and you end up surrendering your heart to the Lord. On the way back home, the Holy Spirit speaks to you and tells you to speak. And all of a sudden, you opened your mouth, and this wonderful language came out. You started praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in other tongues, and from there, right there, you just caught fire for Jesus, right?
I was on fire for Jesus, just full of God, full of the Spirit.
Also, you was going through heart problems, and the Lord tells you that He's healed you, and get off your medication. Is that correct?
That's what he told me. Yes, sir.
And you instantly got off. And did you have any problems from then? When you got
no, I didn't have any problems up until I was deceived, and then he put all that back on. I had no problems up until that point. None.
And so you said it was about 38 days later, after you gave your heart to the Lord, you got deceived. A seed dropped in you that you had blasphemed the Holy Spirit. You're hearing these voices, not being able to discern them. And somewhere in there, you just blasphemed the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, well, I just bit the bait that, like I said, I didn't quite do it there, but he had just deceived me that he had come to live in me, and that the Spirit had left me. And then he kept saying, well, you're just going to blaspheme the Holy Spirit. And he just knocked all hope out of me because I realized that I was listening to a voice that wasn't from God. And I didn't know what to do. I didn't know who to turn to. Nobody had, really, there was nobody in my life that was anointed to help me. I had no one to go to who had any wisdom, had any idea what to do. Nobody knew anything how to do it to help get me free. So I was just stuck. I was stuck.
How long did it take you before you heard about the church or before you came to the church you go to now?
Well, I would listen to Kenneth Hagin. And I would think and say to myself, you know, if I ever met a man like this, I could get free from this.
Right.
And one day I'm at work, and I work with a man, Pastor David Higgins, and he brought me some tapes of Pastor Scales, and he said, take these home and listen to them. I just believe you need to go to this church. And so I came home, on the way home, I put them in my CD player, and I listened to them. And Eric, all I knew was, oh, it's crunch time, isn't it? I said, I've got the opportunity to go to a church where I know, because just from hearing it,
right.
I said, I know this man is anointed. And I know if I go to this church, I'm either going to get exposed and go ahead and die. You know, I mean, this is the thought I had, you know, or I'm going to get free.
Right.
And I didn't know which one it was, you know.
How often did it cross your mind that you was going to die? I've heard you say that a lot the last couple of days.
It was every day, Eric.
Oh, my God.
Every day.
For 3.5 years.
3.5, every day. There was an opportunity to die every day.
Oh, my God.
It was terrible.
Okay, so you finally get the tapes, the CDs, and shout out to Pastor David, love him. But you finally get the CDs, and you just come to a spit in the road where you got to make a decision, because you said in your heart that you would follow. If somebody was like Brother Hagin, then they could help you. And so you got a decision to make to get some help right here.
I did. And I kind of went with fear. I mean, I didn't know what to expect. I was really terrified, to be honest with you. But somewhere inside of me, I knew I had to go.
Right.
It didn't matter what I felt and what I went through. I just knew I had to go. So I talked my wife and my mother into going with me. I said, somebody's got to go with me. I can't go by myself. So we came, and just like I thought, I the first service, I was terrified because of the enemy that was on me, and the devils that I had. But they were terrified. They knew that they had been put in a place that, they knew either I'm going to have to go or we're going to have to get this man out of here. You know, and they tried to get me out of there plenty of times.
It was a struggle for you to even get to church a few times, huh?
It was. They would tell me, this is what he told me. He said, listen, you know Pastor Scales is anointed. If he casts me out of you, you're going to die.
Wow.
So, I was messed up, Eric, man. I mean, I laugh about it, thank God, because I'm free. But at the time, man, I mean, I was terrified.
Everything was about you was going to die. Everything was, if this happened, you're going to die. Or if they do this, you're going to die. Everything was you're going to die.
It just didn't matter. See, they knew how to scare me, because if I died, to me, I was going to hell. And I'd rather been on this earth than down there, you know. So that's what they used against me. That's what they used, the devil used against me to drive me to do what he wants.
Wow.
And it was terrible.
Before I ask you this next question, I was going to ask you how long were you sitting in the church before you got free? But I want you to, again, if you can, explain what you know now, that blaspheming the Holy Spirit, from what you know now, explain to people what blaspheming the Holy Spirit is.
Amen. We missed that earlier. You asked me. The blaspheming the Holy Spirit is someone who has received Jesus as their Lord, and they walk with him, do what he says, and then they receive something else other than what he had given them, salvation, whatever. You go to a different religion and you just say, no, I ain't following Jesus anymore. You're telling him no. You're not going to do what Jesus says anymore. There's no forgiveness there.
Let me read a scripture. It's in Hebrews 6:4, and I believe this is what you're talking about. It's Hebrews 6:4, chapter 6, verse 4 through 6. And this is in the New Living Translation. For it is impossible to bring back to repentance those who were once enlightened, those who have experienced the good things of heaven and shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the power of the age to come, and who then turn away from God. It is impossible to bring such people back to repentance. And so if somebody blasphemes the Holy Spirit, they've actually turned away from God when they really knew him and have experienced him and have tasted the goodness of God's word, and then they decide to turn away from God, then there is no repentance for that person. It's a decision they make, a conscious decision they make to turn away from God. Is that right?
Yes. When you knew him at one time, you loved like him. You did what
right.
he said.
Right.
And then you turn away. You know his goodness. You tasted how good he is. And then you just turn and tell him no.
Right.
You know, you're telling the Holy Spirit, I'm not going to do what you say. And there's no forgiveness for you there.
The Holy Spirit is not going to draw you back to God once you have tasted, known him, and then you've consciously turned your heart from God and turned away from God. The Holy Spirit is not going to draw you back.
Yes. I was a baby. You know, it's not really for babies, because babies, you know, they get into all kind of stuff and don't really know, have a clue what's going on.
Right.
It's the same with you being a spiritual baby. I was a spiritual baby. I didn't even know what, you know, was going on. But I knew
right.
if I heard Jesus' voice, I would obey it. And see, that's different.
Right.
If I heard his voice and I knew it was his voice, you know, I would do what he said.
Right.
You know, I remember even being in that darkness, the devil would bring me envious thoughts about my wife. You know, that's one thing he tried to do to get me out of the church. He would say, oh, when you die, so-and-so is going to marry him. You know, why don't you just go ahead and take them out, you know. Really trying to get me to do stuff like that. And I would tell him, say, no, I forgive them. It won't matter to me. I'll be dead. They can have them. But, see, I didn't even realize then I was walking in his love there. No, I ain't going to do that. I know the Lord don't want me to do something like that.
Also, in those 3 years, you received healing for your heart problem. Talk about that one more time.
Exactly, we're
dealing with healing.
I told the devil that, you know, I just got tired of fighting with it because I was back on all my medication, and I told the devil, I said, listen, I said, the Lord told me I've healed you. I want you to get off all your medication. I said, God gifts are without repentance, devil. I said, he can't take that back. He spoke that. I said, I'm getting it back off all my medication because the Lord, that word is still working. And I said, and I believe it. And so I got off all my medication again, told him I was healed, and that was it.
Wow.
And there wasn't nothing.
And you really were healed. What was going on with your heart?
No. Things would come, but I'd just say, it don't matter, devil, kill me, whatever. If you think you're greater than God's word, go ahead.
And what kind of heart problems did you have? What kind of heart problems did you have?
I had high blood pressure. I would go into atrial fibrillation where the atrium would beat faster than the ventricle side. And you just couldn't get blood pumping right. And, you know, sometimes it would go back in on its own. And I did have to go twice and be shot. Now, one time I didn't have to get shot because it went in when they gave me the medicine. But I was shocked to get it back in rhythm one time. And it would go out other times. And I would just wait it out until it'd go back in.
Right.
Back in rhythm.
But that day you decided you really received your healing. You haven't had to go back to the hospital for that.
No, well, that day I did go back one more time. That was just through another situation, but it was with my heart. But it was just the final straw of it was I went up for healing one day and I thought Pastor was going to pray for my head because my head was hurting. Well, he just laid his hand on my heart, and one of the members in the church said, man, did you see the Lord go in and fix your heart completely? And I said, no. That's what the Lord did. And so from that point on, I received that and just said, Lord, I said, it's done. I'm never going to have any issues out of it again. It's done.
Amen.
But, you know, that was just a one step further. This was after I got free.
Talk about actually when you got free.
We had come to the church in October, October 14th. They were having, 2010, they were having a minister's conference. And we came from October to March. Now, March 13th, 2011. I'm going to go back a little bit, kind of how I got free. But I got free on March 13th, 2011. But I just got honest with the Lord. And I told the Lord, I would go up I would cry at the altar. And it's like I would see the Lord on his throne just not even looking at me, just kind of like with his hands crossed, just waiting. And I didn't know what he's waiting on. And I'm like, Lord, just deliver me, Lord, you know. I didn't know even what to say. I would be crying. It was when I just got honest. I said, Lord, listen. I said, we had touched on this yesterday.
Yes.
When in Matthew 6:24 it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or else hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. But what the Lord showed me in that scripture, he said, if you loved me, you would do what I say. He said,
yes.
He said, you have to be honest that you hate me. And so I had to get honest with the Lord and tell him, said, Lord, I must hate you. Because according to your word, I do. Because I'm not doing what you're telling me to do.
Right.
And so once I did that and got honest, I noticed that I had the ability to really start turning from things I was doing. They were coming at me. I don't know. I guess you could say I was free, but I know the day when the Holy Spirit came back on me to work through me. But I had just decided I was going to turn from it. And I had to fight for about a month. And I just said, no, I'm not going back to depression. I'm not going back there. I'm obeying the Lord. The Lord said I'm forgiven. That's it.
Wow.
You know, and I just kept standing that I'm not going back. I'm going to do what Jesus says, and that's it. And one service.
So hold on just a second, Brent.
Yeah.
So before the day you actually felt the deliverance, you were fighting the depression of this whole thing?
Yes.
And how much victory did you have?
I knew I was winning. I still had something oppressing me.
Right.
But it wasn't controlling me anymore.
Praise
something was there, but it wasn't controlling me.
Right.
I was telling it, no, I'm not obeying you. I'm not doing what you want me. I'm not going back to depression. I'm not going to do it. And there's nothing he could do. There's nothing you can do. I'm not going back. I just believe the Lord.
Was this a daily battle for these 30 days or so?
It not all the time, but most of the time I fought. You know, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. And what I just finally made up my mind to believe was that Jesus loved me.
Wow.
It didn't matter what was wrong with me. And the pastor gave me something to say through those 30 days that helped me. Every time something would come, I would say this. Lord Jesus, I believe your love is greater than what's wrong in my life. And when all the stuff would come showing me how wrong I was, I'd say, well, Lord, I just believe you're greater than what's, your love is greater than what's wrong in my life. And I just held on to that. You know,
amen.
Your love's greater, Lord.
Well, I need that word for today. That's a good
I'm telling you, man. It worked, too.
Amen. Ooh.
Because you know what the Lord was doing in that, he was getting my eyes off the problem and on him.
Amen.
He didn't want me to look at my circumstances. He wanted me to look at him and what he was, and not what my circumstances were doing to me. And this, of course, led up to the final deliverance, to where.
But hold on, this is before you get to the final deliverance.
You keep holding me out, Eric.
I want you to say that one more time, because that hit my spirit, man. He wanted you to take your eyes off of what? Now say that again.
The Lord wanted me to take my eyes off of me and my problem, and wanted me to focus on him and what he did for me. I mean, I'm telling you, when I did that, I'm like, man.
You know what I'm saying, Brandon, we all need to do that in every situation.
Every situation.
Take our eyes off the problem and to put our eyes on what he did for us.
Amen.
That's it. And that's how we're able, that's why he said in John 16:33, he said, be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. He said, yeah, in the world you'll have distresses and tribulations. Nobody's exempt for them. But he said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world.
That's it.
And that's just getting your eyes off of your problem, your situation, and putting on what he's done for us.
That's it. That's all that me saying that allowed that was allowing to happen more in my life. Just I'm not looking at me and my problem. I'm not looking at what I'm going through. I'm looking at what Jesus went through for me, and how he saved me, how he will deliver me, how he'll do those things for me, and what he did. And if Christians could get a hold of that, you can come out of anything. It doesn't matter how long.
We're gonna dabble more into that because to hear you say that it's like, Brandon, that's kind of what I've observed you to live. You know, ever since you got delivered, since I got to know you a little closer. I see you really walking that, man. Like I said, I don't see you discouraged or troubled about anything. When I see you, I don't know what Beth would say. I said, why? But I've been around you enough that if you were somebody who was troubled and discouraged, I definitely would have saw it. Definitely, at least on the golf course, at least one or two times.
Oh, you would have on the golf course, Eric. But
absolutely.
You know what? When I'd miss a golf shot, Eric, you know what I had? All I had to say was to get happy. At least I didn't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. You know what I mean? Right, God.
That is great. Well, take us to the day you actually received or really felt the deliverance from those spirits.
You know, you don't. Whenever the Lord chooses to do something, you know, you can't figure it out. You just have to just accept it and go with it. But it was March 13, 2011. It was on a Sunday morning. A pastor was out of town. Monica Schmelter was preaching. And I went up and got prayer, and I came back and sat down in my seat. You know, when I told you about driving in my truck, how the Holy Spirit, I felt like another person just came and sat down on me and just right. went inside of me. And just I felt the same thing. And for a moment there, I was thinking, man, who's attacking me now? Because I was so used to getting attacked, you know. And I felt that same presence descend on me. And I, for a second, you know, I'm like, what's going on? But, Eric, all of a sudden, I had the greatest peace I've ever had come on me.
Yes.
And I knew, I said, Lord, Holy Spirit, you're back. Oh, and I just knew, Eric. I knew. I thought, oh, Lord. I'm telling you, from that point till now, I have walked in victory. And for 3.5 years, it was 3 years and 10 months now, I have not had one worried or depressed day or stressed day.
Oh, my God.
I mean, you know, I would hear pastors say that. And I would go, how in the world? And now today, I'm saying it. And it doesn't mean, Eric, that stuff hasn't come at me. Because I've had all kinds of things come every day. You know, I mean, just sometimes all day. But I just know the Lord's bigger. The Lord's greater.
Amen.
I mean, I've done, you know, when David faced Goliath, you know, he'd already had some deliverance in his past. He said, when the Lord delivered me from the lion and the bear, from the mouth of the lion, the paw of the bear, he delivered me, and he'll deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hands. I'm telling you, anything, Eric, that comes at me, I know that God is going to deliver me. I've been in things for a month, just, Lord, I know you're going to deliver me. What am I doing? What I need to do, you tell me, Lord, but because I know you'll bring me out of it.
Amen.
And then I see his victory every time. Every single time, Eric, the Lord comes through for me.
Tell me again how that must have felt after going through 3 years, 3.5 years of depression every day, just terrified that you're going to die, into that moment where you knew it was all gone. Did you actually know it was all gone?
I knew it. I knew I'd never go back.
You knew that's what I was going to ask. You knew you would never go back at that moment?
At that moment, I knew I would never go back, Eric. I knew it. with all of my heart. And I knew, I'm like, Lord, if you can deliver me out of this thing, right, if you can deliver me out of this, it doesn't matter what I have to face for you, Lord, or what I go through, I know you'll bring me out of anything and everything I face.
So you just really, really trust him now. You trust him to help you.
I mean,
if
he don't come through for me, it ain't going to happen. I mean, I really don't. I mean, I saw I had no strength at all to bring me out of where I was in that. I had
right.
no strength. If God didn't bring me out, I wasn't coming.
Right.
He had to do it. Now, it required me to believe him.
Yes.
But it still operates the same way now. Lord, I just believe. You're going to do it. If I'm doing something wrong, you'll show me. If I need to turn, you'll show me. And when he does, I get it straight and do it.
But what do you say? I believe we hit on it a little bit earlier, but what do you say is the key in your life when you keep from depression and worrying? And I'm telling you, I'm taking it even a step further. I haven't seen you discouraged.
Well, let's just say it comes.
Yeah.
But what I had just gotten established in the big test that I faced is that God was greater.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what peddly thing I go through, what little thing I go through, God is greater. No matter how small, how big, and sometimes in a small thing, they can tear you up.
Yeah.
I mean, the little things, you know, can just beat you up. You know, in Ecclesiastes, they talk about the little foxes. They come and eat the roots, you know, and they'll kill the whole plant. But, you know, the big foxes, they just steal the fruit, but they don't kill the plant. And the little things are what, after I defeated that big one, I had to learn to take the little things and say, Lord, that's yours too. I can't fix that. And it was little. I can't fix it, Lord. If you don't do it, it ain't going to happen. I give an example. I had my swimming pool had turned green, and I didn't have the money to fix it. You know, it's summertime. Everybody's wanting to swim. And, you know, I kept looking at it, but I said, Lord, I can't fix it. I don't have the money. That's yours. And I go outside again the next day. That's yours, Lord. I can't fix that. I ain't even going to try to fix it. If the money ain't coming, I can't buy the chemicals to fix it. That's yours. So I go a couple more days, go outside, look at it. It'd be greener. And it'd look at me and tell me I'm greener. I said, well, I'm not fixing you. The Lord is. And one day I come home after about 2 weeks, and there's a man out in my backyard cleaning my swimming pool. And, you know, the man's out there saying, man, why are you letting your pool get so green? I said, well, man, I'm just happy you're here doing what the Lord said. You know? And he said, well, the Lord told me to come clean it. I said, I know he did. I wasn't going to do it. But just anything.
Amen.
Anything. And that could stress some people out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that could blow you out. But I didn't care. I wasn't going to fix it. I couldn't fix it. You know, so that's just
I remember a testimony. I think it was your wife, actually. And she I think she was at getting a car fixer, getting tires, I don't know. But anyway, she backed into another car. And after she backed into another car, she just started laughing.
Tears.
I guess there really is no reason when something bad comes. What good is worrying and complaining and being depressed? What good is that going to do for the situation?
It doesn't do anything. It really makes it worse for you.
It makes it worse. It makes it worse.
It'll allow the enemy to do more. And when she called me and told me, I just started laughing. I said, praise God. I said, everybody all right? Absolutely. Well, praise God. You know, ain't nothing we can do about it.
Right.
I mean, what can you do? Eric, I can't explain to people how, I mean, you see how happy I am.
Yes.
I mean, I go through, you know, days where stuff comes and I'm really having to get in there and Lord, you know, you got to help me. You got to show me what to do here.
Yeah.
But he always shows me. He always delivers me. He always helps me. And if people could understand it, if they would just turn to him. He told me, he said, acknowledge me. He said, in all your ways, and I'll direct you. But what most people don't do is they won't acknowledge him.
Right.
They won't say, Lord, what I do? Tell me what to do. I don't know what to do. You're the great one. I don't know what to do. And then once you acknowledge him, he'll come in and direct you where you need to go.
Hey, Brandon, we got about 2 minutes left, but we got a special guest in. I believe it's that Slap Happy Preacher. Hold on just a second. 770, are you there?
Glory to God!
Praise God!
Brandon talking about that pool. Let me tell you what the Lord did for me. I've been driving up my house for a year and a half. And the side was falling off. And I said, Lord, the neighbor's going to start talking about your son. You got to fix your house. About three weeks ago, I got a 5-digit check in the mail from a company I worked for back in my 20s that decided to pay me my retirement early.
Praise God.
And now the house has got brand new siding on it. And the neighbors are saying, did you hit the lottery? I said, yeah, J-E-S-U-S.
Praise God.
We'll talk about the ministry now for 5 months, and he ain't let me down yet. Glory to God.
Amen. Praise God.
I get to come to Huntsville to see my dad tonight. Glory to God.
Amen. Praise God.
And I know it's going to be awesome, man. I want it to go so bad. Man, Pastor Robert, I love you.
Hey,
amen.
I love you too. Amen.
Glory to God.
Thanks for the testimony, man. That's Pastor Robert Denson, man. He's been tuning in almost every day, and I really appreciate that. And we've been working on a schedule to get him on the show. Brandon, we got about probably about a minute. Why don't you close us out in prayer? And if you can, the Lord just put on my heart, if you can pray for people with heart trouble. The
Amen.
Bible says if you freely have received and freely give, and I know you
Amen.
Received healing from that heart trouble. So if you could pray for people with heart trouble, and then we'll close out the show.
Okay. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, Lord, I just thank you for your son Jesus, and thank you for the healing he provided by his stripes on the cross. So, Lord, I just pray for anybody out there who may have heart trouble, Lord, that you would just right now, Lord, just send your presence, send your power, your healing power to them and touch them and heal them in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I thank you for doing that. I thank you that your power is going forth and touching them and healing them. And I encourage you, if anybody's out there, that just pray that prayer to say every day, I believe, Lord, your healing power is working in my body. And just say that every day, once a day. Lord, I believe your healing power is working in my body. Praise
Hallelujah.
God. Amen.
Amen. The Lord is able. Man, thanks a lot, Brandon. And, man, I'm going to have to get you back on the show, man, because you got a lot more to share with people.
Amen.
And I know we we've got to dabble in your testimony a little bit, but I know there's a lot more. I've heard all, you know, not, maybe not all of them, but I've heard a lot of the stories and that what the Lord's brought you from. So I just thank you so much, and hopefully we'll be able to work out another time for you to come on for a few days. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. This is the Choose to Joy broadcast. Healing Belongs to Us, number 5, brought to you by GloryGiftStore.com. And that was Brandon Robinson giving his testimony. Thanks for tuning in. God bless you. Goodbye.